My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to episode 28 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. You can follow us on Twitter at Emerald Flow Show. And if you're feeling generous, you can donate to us at voicesofwrestling.com/donate. I'm Gerard DeTroyo, here with Paul Vosch. Paul, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Gerard, one thing I want to ask you, though, is how good looking are you feeling today?
I'm feeling pretty good looking, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good enough to join a new Drake Lee's 565,000 faction?
My hair's not long enough to join it.
Mine is, so we could just both join in that case.
Yes, and we'll get to that a little later. But unfortunately, we have to start off with some very, very tragic news. I'm sure by the time that this goes up, you will all heard of the tragic car accident that claimed the life of Jay Briscoe. And I know that there's obviously been a huge outpouring of, you know, remembering him and of grief, and people talking about all of his great promos and his great matches and how they were essentially, you know, they were Ring of Honor for 20 years, basically. But and people, other podcasts will probably talk about his New Japan run. But we should probably quickly touch on the Briscoe's, like, Noah run in, like, 2007, 2008, Paul.
Yep, because it's actually a run that I feel is actually somewhat forgotten. Like, it's not because, obviously, the Briscoe's just have an absolutely amazing all-time resume. And I feel like sometimes the Noah run actually gets a little bit lost in there, because I think there's actually some gems in that one. Like, it really only lasted like for about 2 years. And then I think, like, I don't exactly remember why they stopped coming to Noah.
Did the Ring of Honor relationship end?
Good question. Might be. Like, I don't remember when the Ring of Honor Noah relationship ended. Because, for example, like, the match with Segura and Marufuji was on the same show where Morishima won the Noah title, the JHC title.
Oh, so that was 2007 or 2008?
That was 2007, yeah.
Okay. No, but they were in the 2008 NTV Junior Tag League.
Yeah. So... yeah, that's why I'm not sure. Like, it might have also just been that those two, like, didn't want to really go to Japan regularly anymore, which I think that's also fair. But yeah, that's, like, we don't really know why, but it is kind of just a brief run. But I think there's some bangers in there. Like, as I mentioned, the Marufuji and Segura match, that one has an absolutely insane finish. Like, I think legit one of my, like, top 10 all-time finishes to a match in that one.
Yeah. I was going to say the reason also stopped going to Japan. I believe I heard that Jay's oldest daughter was 13. So this sort of lines up
to her being born. Yeah.
So soon after that was when they started their families and everything like that. So yeah. I think that's probably a major factor in that.
Yeah, no, because they're both obviously, like, Jay was and Mark still is, like, very much a family man. So it's very understandable that once children are on the way, they're probably not willing to fly halfway around the world just for some wrestling, if they can just work Ring of Honor instead and stay close to home.
Yeah, definitely. And so, yeah, I mean, watch that their match against Sugira and Mara Fuji. I mean, all this is on YouTube.
Yeah.
A lot of that stuff.
Yeah, they also have a great match with Katsuhiko Nakajima and Kota Ibushi, which, yeah, that whole, I mean, in theory, you can watch that whole kind of Noah Junior Global League or the Nippon TV, whatever it was called again, because yeah. It just has an absolutely insane lineup.
I got the lineup right here. I just got to mention it because if you've never seen it, you got to check it out. Okay, so the teams were Kenta and Taiji Ishimori, Atsushi Aoki and Akihito Ito, Brian Danielson and Davey Richards, Jay and Mark Briscoe, Katsuhiko Nakajima and Kota Ibushi, Naomichi Marafuji and Kento Miyahara. The Miyahara and Marafuji versus Danielson and Davey Richards matches on YouTube. Check it out. It's great. Just to see Brian Danielson and Kento Miyahara in the same ring together. Ricky Marvin and Eddie Edwards and Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Kotaro Suzuki. I mean, that's incredibly stacked.
Yes, that is absolutely absurdly stacked. And the Briscoes really, I mean, obviously they're an all-time great tag team. So they obviously like held their own in that tournament, and just with that lineup, you know there's some bangers in there. But I think like the best one from that is like Nakajima and Ibushi. But I think really like whatever you can find from the run and know, I think it's well worth a watch because they're amazing.
Yeah, and they were the GHC Junior Tag Team Champions for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Basically just transitional champions, but yeah. You know, they were still chosen, I think. Even to be a transitional champion, like a foreign team, they have to see something in you.
Yeah, especially in Noah, which historically has been pretty stingy when it comes with title runs for foreigners.
Yeah, for sure, definitely. Less so in the junior division, but
yeah,
even compared to New Japan's junior division, a lot less.
Yeah, well, I would definitely say for like all junior teams as well. Like all Gaijin junior teams, I think still. Like I think there's like Gaijin teaming with a Japanese guy, I think. They've done that, but I think really, very rarely, like all Gaijin like champions.
Yeah. So rest in peace, Jay.
Rest in peace.
And so we'll start off with All Japan Pro Wrestling. Just a couple of notes. Hokuto Omori has been a bad boy.
And he's been drinking.
Yeah. So All Japan posted on their website a notice being like, basically, it sounds like Hokuto Omori maybe got a little too drunk at some event. We don't know if it's in front of sponsors or not, but they said that he is like getting docked 30% of his pay for 3 months and has to like not drink alcohol until March 31st.
It's a very Japanese solution to this problem.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's got MMA training. I don't think he's, do you think he got into a bar fight, or do you think he just like fell over drunk and like smashed something?
I think, yeah,
it's
maybe.
It's all speculation, but.
I think maybe he also got, like, rude with, like, someone as well at an event. Yeah. Like, got too rude with a fan or something like that. So, because it's obviously not serious enough for them to suspend him. So, I think it had to be in something pretty minor. Like, I don't think he got it to, like, an actual fight, but maybe he, like, insulted a fan or something like that.
But it was public, so they had to do something.
Yeah.
It would be different if he, like, smashed a bottle and it was just them in some bar owned by a wrestler, surrounded by
absolutely not doing that. If he smashes up a bottle in like Toru Yano's bar, they're not like docking his pay.
Yeah. But I mean, I think this event happened earlier from the wording, but that was through a translation, and I don't think it's affected his push.
No.
But they had to do something.
Yeah. Because I think it's actually didn't they actually put that up after the show on the 15th?
Yes.
So, yeah, like if it happened before then already, like it very obviously hasn't affected this push.
Yeah, for sure. And we're sort of darting over to Kyushu Pro real quickly, but it was announced that Tajiri is, like it was speculated, will be running their dojo and they're looking for foreign talent.
Yeah, what about Malaysia?
Well, I think he's probably going to be going back to Malaysia.
Ah, okay. I mean, to be fair, it is. Closer. Well, it's not close, but close you can be in Japan, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fruitful scene that could use some development from a veteran like him.
Oh, definitely. Training. Yeah. So, I mean, he already brought Gianni Valletta into Kyushu Pro. So yes. He's definitely coming back.
Oh, he's coming back. I would just say, like, look, if you're a wrestler trying to get into a dojo in Japan, that's probably not the worst idea to get trainer to Tajiri.
Yeah. I mean, you're not directly in Tokyo, but Kyushu Pro, like, does run Tokyo semi-regularly, so you can definitely get some eyeballs on you.
Well, I mean, Fukuoka area has a lower cost of living, like one of the lowest costs of living for a major Japanese city, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So really the ideal case to, like, train there, work their Tokyo shows, and maybe hope that you get picked up by someone bigger as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm of two minds of this. I think Tajiri running their dojo is great, and it's an opportunity for foreign talent to get into a Japanese dojo. I don't think them putting their title on Tajiri is a great idea, though.
No, that's not really a thing that has worked out well for companies in the past, but we'll see.
But, yeah, that's the big Tajiri update. So we move on to All Japan's shows that happened since our last episode. So we start on January 11th at Horigaya Public Hall in front of 258 fans. We can go through the undercard really quickly. Mm-hmm. Dan Tamer and Hikaru Sato defeated Yoshitatsu and Oji Shiba in 9 minutes and 4 seconds with a Wata Gatame from Sato on Shiba. I thought this was a nice little opener.
Yeah, no, this was really fun. I really like how, like, Dan and Hikaru have actually developed as a team.
Yeah. Taka Omori defeated Masao Inoue in 8 minutes and 19 seconds with the Axe Bomber. Well, as much as I've said great things about Omori back in 2022, Masao Inoue does not bring out the old Omori these days.
No, definitely not.
This is just very dry and boring.
Yeah. It's a match that happened.
Black Tiger defeated Black Mensurae in 6 minutes and 17 seconds with a diving elbow drop. It was awful.
Yeah. Why? Like, I was surprised that they brought this guy back after the first match he had. Like, but you can't bring him back again. Like, he's just absolute trash.
He got a win, but I don't see him booked on any other shows. But there's only one card announced for February, so we'll see. Shuji Ishikawa, Ryo Inoue, and Yuma Anzai defeated Suwama, Jun, and Rei Saito in 11 minutes and 45 seconds when Anzai used a German suplex hold on Rei. I dug this match for the most part. But then, of course, this incredibly long and drawn-out Voodoo Murders breakup angle. So, of course, Suwama, like, beats up Rei and then leaves him to be pinned.
Yeah, well, I think we're going to have a case of Groundhog Day in just a few minutes when we talk about the next show.
This is a worse breakup angle than Red Velvet leaving the baddies.
Yeah, this. How long do you think they're going to draw this out?
I would hope not past Korakin.
I mean, how many times does how many times does Suwama have to beat up the Saitos before they're like, oh, we don't want to team with you anymore?
Yeah, I don't know. I would assume they'll just, like, they do angles on the smaller shows, but most of their angles are on Korakin.
Yeah.
So
I mean, maybe we actually suffer from the fact that we're actually watching all of these shows live and they're just house shows. And it is redoing the angle every single time because these are just house shows. And then at Korakuen, they do the final one. And we're just going to get sick of it. But I think they're going to do that all the way.
Yeah. So hopefully just one more show.
Yeah.
Next up, we had Minoru Suzuki and the aforementioned Hokuto Omori defeated Ryuki Honda and Yusuke Kodama of Gungnir of Anarchy in 11:45 when Omori pinned Honda with the Muso Essen, in case you were wondering how his push is going. That pretty much solidifies that he's a heavyweight now.
Yeah, no, I think that is very much assured now. He's a heavyweight because he pinned Honda. What a weird way. Why would he do this whole run with him going, like, winless in the Junior Battle of Glory?
Absolutely the weirdest way to do it. No question.
Because it felt like he was moving up to heavyweight when he wrestled Suzuki. And then they pushed him back down to the juniors. And then in the new year, they just made him a heavyweight anyway.
Like, I assume that is the story supposed to be, oh, we can only do this under Suzuki's guidance?
Maybe. Or like putting on my conspiracy hat. Did they think he was leaving, and then he told them and that they made him lose, and then he was like, no, actually I'm staying, and then they were like, oh, well, I guess you're a heavyweight now.
I mean, I could absolutely believe that, given what Tajiri was trying, what Tajiri was up to.
Yeah. So, I don't, like, it's just bizarre. I mean, but for now, I'm like, okay, let's go, like, let's put on the heavyweight train for Omori, and let's just forget about what they did for the last 3 months.
I mean, I like this match. It looked good. I mean, Omori did obviously most of the work for his team and everything, and Suzuki just came in there to slap guys.
Yeah, no, I think they're a pretty fun team. I think we might actually see them like get a tag title soon, a tag title match at some point soon.
Yeah, I could see that. And then in the main event, it was billed as a Triple Crown World Tag Team Title and PWF World Junior Title skirmish. Kento Miyahara, Kaz Hayashi, and Rising Hayato defeated Yuma Aoyagi, Naoya Nomura, and Atsuki Aoyagi in 14 minutes and 29 seconds when Hayashi pinned Atsuki with the final cut. Paul, I thought this was pretty great, actually.
Yeah, this was awesome. I mean, to be fair, like, there's six pretty awesome workers in here, so.
Yeah. I would say, though, I'm really looking forward to Hayashi versus Atsuki.
Yeah, I think that match has the potential to be really good, and I actually really like, because I think we can talk about it for the next year as well. I think I really like how they're setting up this like old man junior gauntlet for Atsuki right now.
Yes, for sure. Although we'll get to that because I have a feeling it could actually be coming to an end.
Yes. But
that is a development from the on the next show. So that was, I mean, both of these shows on the 11th and the 15th, they clock in at just under 2 hours.
Yeah.
So they're really easy watches, and at least watch like the top couple of matches from both of them if you're just trying to pick and choose.
Yeah. Like both of them flew by. Like I was like, when I was watching them, I was like, wait, we're already at the main event. Jeez, that was going really fast.
Yeah. So we then move on to, January 15th at Chiba 2AW Square. In front of 158 fans,
drawing double what 2AW draws there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I bet you if this was in another venue in Chiba, it could have drawn a few more.
Yeah, but I think they probably get it essentially for free.
Yeah,
that's why they're always running it.
This one had cheering. I'm not sure if Harugaya was cheering or not because it felt like the crowd decided to start making noise as the show went on.
I think we're in a very confusing point right now in Japan.
Yeah. This one definitely was cheering.
Yeah.
Because these like this in Shinkiba when they're privately owned or not owned by a large company.
Yeah.
They don't care. Allow cheering.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't care. So first up we had Black Menso Ray and Kaiji Tomato versus Oji Shiba and Takuro Nikki of 2AW that went to a time limit draw in 10 minutes. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, but to be honest, I felt it dragged a little bit because it went like all 10 minutes.
Really? I liked it. And, you know, it was like Kaiji Tomato basically trolling the other team with his, like, I don't know, his gestures. I don't know how to describe it. Because at one point, Shiba was like doing them to Tomato.
Yeah. No, I mean, I thought it was fun. I was just like, I don't know if I would have gone all the way to time limit draw, but maybe that's just me being grumpy.
And then next up, Ryuki Honda and Yusuke Kodama defeated Ryo Inoue and Yuma Anzai in 8 minutes and 7 seconds with the final vent from Honda on Inoue. This was pretty good.
Yeah. No, I thought it was also a nice way to like rebound Honda from losing to Omori. So... was pretty fun.
I thought Honda and Inoue worked really well together.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like it's really interesting, like how quickly like Inoue is taking steps right now, because you can literally see him grow right in front of your eyes, like with every show.
Yeah, it's funny because he seems to add like a different kick variation on every
yeah.
show.
He really is Kawada Jr.
Yeah. So that was really good. And then number three, Naruki Doi defeated Dan Tamer in 9 minutes and 47 seconds with a Bakatare sliding kick. I thought this was pretty good, and I was actually quite impressed with Dan being able to keep up with someone like Doi.
Yeah. It did kind of feel like a bit of an extended squash, though, because a lot of it was Doi dominating Dan.
But Dan got in some stuff at the, in the last couple minutes, and that's when I thought it really got to a, like, well, I don't want to say it like super high level, but I mean, it picked up a gear, and Dan looked good against like someone like Doi, which I think is good for Dan.
Yeah, no, definitely. And definitely feels like they're building up Doi for something.
Well, in the post-match comments that they have, because this was a VOD show, so that they had Doi's comments right after the match. Sounds like he's going after the junior title, but he's also the DDT Universal champ.
Yeah, and I think he's definitely beating Atsuki.
I think he's beating Atsuki, but I think Atsuki's beating him back.
Yes.
Do you think there's a chance that Rising Hayato beats Doi?
That I could also see that happen. I actually think, like, I actually don't know if Doi is actually going to be the next challenger as well. Like, next challenger after Hayashi. Because I think that's, they might too, slide in Kotaro Suzuki, and then they do Doi versus Atsuki.
I think that would be the better choice, honestly.
Because you get a bit more out of the Atsuki reign, and basically you have, like, that's what I mean, like, you have this, like, old man junior gauntlet, and then he falls to the last guy in the gauntlet, essentially, and needs to regain his title. And I think putting the title on Doi is a great idea, because he's probably like the biggest draw in terms of like a junior. You can put that on, like, the biggest draw as a junior they've had in like quite a while.
Yeah, Sugi, not a draw.
No. And I would argue he's a bigger draw than Tiger Mask.
Yes, absolutely. And then next up, Shuji Ishikawa, Takao Mori, and Yoshitatsu defeated Suwama, Jun Saito, and Rei Saito in... I don't have the time for this written down, but it couldn't have been more than 10 minutes when Yoshitatsu used his Cockroach Driver 2022 on June. Same story as the last match.
Because technically it's Yoshitatsu hitting a move on June, but it's really like the corpse of June Saito after Suwama beat the shit out of him.
Yes. I mean, the match was actually okay for what it was.
Yeah. The match was fine, but it was just the fact that it was the exact same thing as the previous show. I was like, okay, I really feel like I'm getting like deja vu here.
Yeah. And then in the semi-main event, Hokuto Omori defeated Hikaru Sato in 11 minutes and 48 seconds with the Muso Essen. This is sort of culminates a storyline that had been going on for a while. Like, just like how Atsuki finally beat beat Sato last month. This is Omori's first singles win over Sato after a number of matches that they've had.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to be fair, but if, like, since Omori is a heavyweight now, I did feel like Sato was taking a bit too much of the match for my feeling.
I agree, mostly, yes.
Like, I get that Sato was obviously, like, the guy that Omori could never beat, so you can't basically have, like, Omori go in there and squash Sato, but it really felt like Sato was working him over like a lot, especially during the second half of the match, and then Omori just comes back and hits the Muso Issen and wins.
True, although I feel like Sato gets more against heavyweights than any of their other juniors too.
True, and he did actually tap out Omori a few years back. Takao.
Yeah, Omori. Takao. Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, that was. I think that was early last year.
I think it was 2021.
Or maybe, yeah.
Yeah, because I think I was in Italy at the time.
Okay. So, yeah, so that was a good. And I think, so regardless of Omori's drinking habits, his push seems to be going well so far. Next up in the main event, Yuma Aoyagi, Atsuki Aoyagi, and Naoya Nomura defeated Kento Miyahara, Kotaro Suzuki, and Rising Hayato in 18 minutes and 17 seconds when Yuma pinned Hayato with the Fool. Paul, this is another great match.
Yeah, this was awesome as well. And again, hey, this is what happens when you put six great workers in a match. You get great matches.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, especially in the main event. No, I think this ruled as well. Like, did a nice job of like setting up the tag title match as well.
Yeah.
And so yeah, but I do like. I mean, I know that it might be related to, like, Masawa getting involved, but I do like that Kotaro Suzuki is here now, because I think he adds a lot to the junior division.
Right. Well, I'm not convinced that Nosawa's got his fingers all over the place other than his own program.
But they are buddies. Like, they were literally in a faction together.
Oh, I think Kotaro's there because of Nosawa, but I think that's the only influence that Nosawa has been on outside of his own program.
Yeah, and again, like, with the Kotaro Suzuki is still really good, so. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, just a quick rundown of the upcoming shows. On January 22nd, we have Kotaro Suzuki and Black Mensa Ray versus Rising Hayato and Oji Shiba. That should be pretty good. Gaora TV title, Toshizo versus Minoru Tanaka. Naruki Doi and Hokuto Omori versus Yuma Anzai and Ryo Inoue. I'm looking forward to that. That should be pretty good. And the Shotaro Ashino return match. Shotaro Ashino, Ryuki Honda, and Masao Hanabata versus Yuji Nagata, Hikaru Sato, and Dan Tamura.
So what are the odds Ashino loses on his return match?
I don't think so.
But Masao was in that match, so.
yeah, for sure. And then Shuji Ishikawa, Takao Mori, and Yoshitatsu, and the returning Ren Ayabe, who we haven't seen since last August because he was out a couple months with the collapsed lung, versus Suwama.
I can't believe that what happened. Like, it's wild.
Yeah. Versus Suwama, Kono, and Jun, and Rei Saito. I would assume with Kono there and everything, they're doing the breakup angle.
They'd better, like, just act as so far beyond, like, play, like, heel Suwama just needs to be done forever. You can basically transition Voodoo Murderers into being, like, the name of, like, the Saito Brothers tag team, essentially.
Yeah, keep Taru with them. And then for the PWF World Junior Heavyweight title, we got Atsuki Aoyagi versus Kaz Hayashi, which we've talked about. Should be a great match. And then in the main event, Kento Miyahara and Takuya Nomura defend their World Tag Team titles against Yuma Aoyagi and Naoya Nomura. And obviously, my expectations are high, Paul.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's sky high. I kind of expect a banger, especially because it's been announced that this is a cheering show.
Yes, I forgot to mention that. It's a cheering show. This is for All Japan's first Korakuen cheering show since the pandemic started. Yeah. Finally, after almost 3 years.
Jesus, it's been so long.
I know, right?
Finally going to hear people chant, do the Kento chant as he comes out in Korakuen wearing all the belts.
Yep.
It's still my outstanding lock from last show. Because I locked this matchup last show and it just hasn't happened yet. So so I'm still sticking with that one, which is Yuma and Nomura. Yuma and Naoya Nomura. Jesus, that's confusing.
And we would be remiss if we didn't talk about, because I don't know when we're going to record again next. So I'll just quickly run down the show on the 4th. Because we knew Kento versus Yuma for the Triple Crown. But now, Paul, there's been a new title match added to the show. And do you know what that is?
Is it Doi? Oh, yeah. It's we're going to see the birth of Hardcore Darkseid Yoshitatsu.
Yes. In a tornado bunkhouse current explosion death match, Nosawa Rangai and Kendo Kashin defend their All Asia Tag Team titles against Yoshitatsu and Atsushi Onita.
Yeah, people have been demanding how much time on reviewing this? 20 minutes?
20 yeah. minutes?
No,
yeah.
You'll get 30 seconds.
Do you think Nosawa and them are dropping the titles? Nosawa and Kashin are dropping the titles here because Nosawa's retirement match has already been announced.
I mean, that would make a lot of sense, but okay. I'm gonna say heads, they're dropping the title. Tails, they're retaining the titles.
Okay.
Dropping the titles.
Okay. Also announced, Naoya.
The coin has spoken.
Yeah. Also announced, Naoya Nomura and Ryo Inoue versus Naruki Doi and Hokuto Omori. Finally see Naoya Nomura and Naruki Doi lock up, I guess. That should be cool. And then we have Takao Mori, Masao Inoue, Rising Hayato, and Oji Shiba versus Black Mensa Ray, Riki Fuji, Raijin Yaguchi, and Sushi. Paul, Riki Fuji had a stroke last year and he's still wrestling.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening there. He also got like a video with where he gets visited by Nakamura.
Yeah.
Kind of went viral too. I think that got like 800,000 views on YouTube.
Really? Oh God.
Yeah.
And then Shotaro Oshino and Ryuki Honda will face off against Dan Tamer and Hikaru Sato. I assume that's just a warm up for them before they get back into world tag team title contention.
Yeah, yeah. Nick, yeah, that's actually, they've actually kind of been replenishing their tag team ranks now.
They have been, yeah. And then they don't have matches, but Yuji Nagata and Kotaro Suzuki will also be on the show. So, I don't know. The show looks good, apart from that All Asia tag title match. And what they do, and we'll see what they do with Suzuki and Nagata, because that could really make it a pretty good show.
Just make it a singles match.
Yes, please. That's good enough. Also, All Japan has put out a request on their website for new recruits to their dojo. And you have to be between the ages of 18 to 26 and have to have a height of 175 centimeters or more.
Ah, damn it.
Well,
not less the height, more the age.
I guess. But I know that there's some people that really don't like these height requirements. But All Japan could use a few more heavyweights in their dojo.
Yeah, and I think, like I said, All Japan's kind of unique selling point is that there are still kind of like the tall guys promotion. If you're under like 175 and you want to be a heavyweight, you can go to Noah.
yes, you can. And Paul, I just have this in the show notes as baseless, great related speculation, but I got to say something. With Kaito Ishida winning the G-Rex title, and more and more Shima fingerprints all over the product. Do you think that we'll be seeing a lot more Kaz Hayashi in All Japan?
I could see that happening. You think he's kind of like getting pushed out a little bit and that's why he's like taking bookings elsewhere?
Well, yes and no. Because also I noticed in Great, other than in the UWF matches, they're booking All Japan guys a lot less. Like, Atsuki and Dan were like regulars in Great for like a while there.
True. But it also feels like Great was kind of like rotating some guys into All Japan and out of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, and it is also kind of interesting that like, obviously Doi is a freelancer now, but like, I still think that like the kind of Great and Dragon Gate is still kind of like being warehoused away from each other.
Right, but Doi's still working Dragon Gate, is he not?
Yes, that's what I mean. So, like, someone like Doi coming in might also mean that the Great relationship has weakened enough that they can bring in someone like Doi again.
Yes, for sure. And so, I don't know. I just think, and it just seems to me Shima's fingerprints are more on it, like that whole like Luigi Primo stuff and all.
No, that is a 100% Shima thing. Yes.
Yeah, and all these weird factions that they're now making.
Yeah. So, but that was a banger. Obviously we're not having it. I don't think we have time enough to do it anyway. But I think, should maybe like with Ishida winning and everything, might need to put like a great show onto the schedule every once in a while again.
For sure. I mean, it was like the only recent great matches I've watched are the Ishida versus Lindemann and Shima versus Luigi Primo.
That is an interesting dichotomy, yes.
I just had to watch it because to see how ridiculous it was.
And it was very ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah. And then we move on next to Pro Wrestling NOAH, because we've got a few shows and a lot of stuff coming up. So we'll start. They did their doubleheader in Korakuen Hall on January the 8th. And first off, so the first show, the afternoon show, drew 622 fans, you know, around their usual number. And so starting off with Masa Kitamiya and Daiki Inaba defeated Yasutaka Yano and Taishi Ozawa in 7 minutes and 1 second when Inaba used an arm lock on Ozawa. I thought this was actually a pretty good little opener.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought this was pretty fun as well. And put over Kitamiya strong as well. Which
yeah.
I think it's always good.
And
especially the team, since they're challenging, obviously.
Yeah. And Hio did Dr. Wagner Jr. and Timothy Thatcher defeated Muhammad Yone and Akitoshi Saito in 6 minutes and 24 seconds with a Fujiwara armbar from Thatcher on Saito. Obviously not much to this. Kind of interesting that they put them those two against those guys, but it was just an easy win for them.
Yeah, I think that just felt like we need to book these four people and we don't have anything else, so let's just put them against each other.
Yeah. Jack Morris defeated Misaki Mochizuki in 8 minutes and 24 seconds with Tiger Driver. Paul, I had higher hopes for this, but they just basically turned into a glorified squash for Morris.
Yeah, I was really like, oh, is they going to have like some nice back and forth? But no, it was just basically all Jack Morris and anyone.
Yeah.
But I mean, fair enough, because they're pushing the new faction.
That's all fine and good. But you could have gotten 12 minutes out of this. I mean, Mochizuki, Mochizuki does do a lot of jobs in Noah, but he looks credible against top guys usually.
No, true, but maybe we should have looked at where they put this on the card, and that probably gave it a bit away that it wasn't going to be much.
Yeah. Next up, Junta Miyawaki and Alejandro defeated Yoshinari Ogawa and Eita in 7 minutes and 40 seconds with a horizontal cradle from Miyawaki on Ogawa. I mean, it's nice to see the old guys giving back.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, Ogawa was never someone that was like, I need to protect my spot.
Yeah. For sure. And I think these guys could have gone longer, but it was a nice little match.
Yeah.
And in,
we're going to see a longer version of this. So,
yeah. In the Scramble Shuffle Tag Tournament, Noah and Kongo. So we had Katsuhiko Nakajima and Seki Yoshioka defeated Naomichi Marufuji and Hiroki in 12 minutes and 50 seconds with a Michinoku Driver 1 cutback from Yoshioka on Hiroki. I actually thought this was probably one of the weaker matches in the tournament, but I still thought it was a nice little like 3 stars.
No, I agree. I definitely was like, I was looking forward to that one, but then it was just kind of a bit nothing. But I think I still liked that it was pretty clear that like Nakajima and Yoshioka actually have pretty good chemistry as a team.
And then next up in the Scramble Shuffle Tag Tournament round 1, Masakatsu Funaki and Yohei, truly a random team, defeated Takashi Sugiura and Hajime Ohara in 12 minutes and 27 seconds when Yohei used the Gamen G on Ohara. I actually like this match.
This was, again, Funaki and Yohei are a random team, but I think they actually mesh really well together.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting little styles because like Funaki and Sugiura are on each side and they can hit hard, and like Yohei and Ohara can do like the fast-paced junior stuff.
Yeah. No, I really was like, I was like surprised how well like these two work together. And I think that actually was like a bit more obvious in their next match as well.
Yeah. And next up, Ninja Mac defeated Dante Leon in 7 minutes and 10 seconds with a blood kick, which sort of not gives you an accurate depiction of how long this match really was, because reverse sort of playing on their last singles match in Korakuen, Ninja Mac attacked Dante Leon before the bell during like the entrance.
Yeah, I don't know. It was another one of their matches against each other. It happened. That's the best I can say about it, I think.
Yeah, it is not Ninja Mac's next work in best work in Noah. That's for sure.
No, I think because he really just brings out the worst of him. I like that. Like Dante Leon really brings out like the GCW in Ninja Mac, which I don't think is good.
Yeah.
Like I think he should be working people that he can learn from in Japan and not his scummy GCW buddy.
Even Dante looks better against other guys in Noah.
Yeah.
And then next up, we had in this shuffle tag round 1, Manabu Soy and Atsushi Kotoge defeated Kaito Kiyomiya and Tadasuke in 12 minutes and 54 seconds with a moonsault press from Kotoge on Tadasuke. Another fun little match. I enjoyed this tournament.
This tournament was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think there was anything super blow away. Like, there's nothing I'm going to be like putting in my match of the year list, but it was like a really like fun idea.
Yeah.
And pulled off well. And I think all the teams kind of meshed up surprisingly well.
Yes. So that was good. That was a good match. And then the next up was in round 1, Satoshi Kojima and Shuji Kondo. Doesn't feel so random given their history, but whatever. Defeated Kenno and Amasaka in 14-13 when Kondo used the Gorilla Clutch on Amasaka. Again, another great match.
Yep. So, which, I mean, we're going to talk about later, but they definitely did the right decision on the two teams they put into the finals. So, and it was kind of, I think it was kind of obvious from the beginning which two teams were going to be in the final. And
yes, I think so too.
End up being those teams.
Yeah. And then Paul, in the main event, Jake Lee defeated Yoshiki Inamura in 14-19 with the D4C. What did you think about this match, Paul? Because I thought it was stuck in like second gear, and it wasn't like horrible, but it just wasn't a big splash debut for Jake. And Jake is still more or less, he finally has got new tights, but he's still doing the same old thing with the ladder and everything.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe it feels fresh for Noah fans who maybe haven't watched All Japan, and that's why he's still doing the same act. But then again, what we were really hoping for him leaving was that he was like gonna go and he's gonna like come out somewhere. He's gonna be completely refreshed. And really, aside from like finally shedding the Total Eclipse tights, like that's really about it.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the match was fine, but I mean, it also wasn't really like this, like, I'm Jake Lee and I'm here and I'm like the new big deal. Like, it definitely didn't feel like that kind of performance either.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think, spoiler alert, I think the tag matches he's been in since have been a little better.
But, yeah. But like, this was really his like big Korakuen main event for him to like, his first match in a promotion, so.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
It fell short of that.
Yep, and against an opponent that he should have, he's tussled with lots of big rough guys before, right? So it should have been better. It's just my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like his run isn't doomed. It's just off to a bit of a lackluster start, which unfortunately is well. It's a Drake Lee staple.
And then, so the evening show at Korakuen in front of 570 fans, Shuhei Taniguchi defeated Taishi Ozawa in 4 minutes and 45 seconds with the double sledgehammer. I enjoyed this a lot.
Do you think it's weird that it drew less than the earlier show? Because generally it's the evening show that draws.
Well, I mean, it was Jake's first match and he is a name.
This one was more of a random show, basically.
Jake is not nothing.
Yeah.
And I think that might have brought in a few curious fans. Taniguchi defeated Ozawa in 4 minutes and 45 seconds with a double sledgehammer. I enjoyed this because Taniguchi beating up young guys is cool.
Yeah. No, like I said, I still don't get why they took him out of Funky Express only for him to do nothing, but I mean, he's still fun when he does something like this.
Yes, for sure. And then in the semifinal of the Scramble Shuffle Tag Tournament, Katsuhiko Nakajima and Seki Yoshioka defeated Manabu Soya and Atsushi Kotoge in 11:56 when Nakajima used the vertical spike on Kotoge. Another great, well, pretty good match in this tournament.
Mm-hmm. And the crowd actually got pretty hot during the finishing stretch.
Yeah, for sure. That was the best part of the match, too. Right.
Yeah. It also really felt like the crowd really badly wanted Kotoge to win because it almost felt like the energy was getting sucked out a bit when Nakajima hit the vertical spike.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kotoge is going to be an over guy in front of a Noah Korakuen crowd.
Yeah.
He's just not like a bigger draw.
No.
But he's like a hardcore favorite.
Yes. No. That was very, very obvious here.
Yeah. And then in the other semifinal, Satoshi Kojima and Shuji Kondo defeated Masakatsu Funaki and Yohei in 11:11 when Kojima used the Western Lariat on Yohei. And another really fun match with the odd couple pairing of Yohei and Funaki.
Yeah. I thought this really, like, this Funaki Yohei team really, really over delivered on all of their stuff.
This is some of the best stuff Funaki has done in Noah.
Yes, no, I mean,
I'm gonna get
to be fair, putting him in it,
I'm going to get angry, certain shoot style fans angry at me, but it's honest, like, honestly, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, Yeah, no, put them together permanently, Funaki and Yohei. But like, I feel like a tag team at this stage for his career is also the best thing to do for Funaki, because he can just, like, Yohei can do like all of the like selling and everything, and then Funaki can just come in as the hot tag, and I think that works really well. Especially against a team like this, where like Kondo and Kojima just beat the shit out of Yohei.
Yeah. And then we slow down a bit. Well, slow down maybe is not the right word, but the match quality drops a bit. Dante Leon defeated Yasutaku Yano in 6 minutes and 29 seconds with the Inferno. I don't know. Wasn't the worst thing I've ever saw, but like,
no.
Yano is better than this. And Yano's not going to learn anything at wrestling Dante Leon.
No. If anything, it's the opposite.
It's going to regress him. Because I like Yano a lot.
No. I'm more saying Dante Leon is going to learn something from wrestling Yano.
Yeah. Who's only been wrestling, what, is it even 2 years?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Leon should just, like, I mean, he's a former junior champion, so he can't do that. But he really should have, like, put him in the dojo and gave him like, tights.
Of course they should have. But like, yeah. I feel like Nosawa sees him and is like,
that they gave him the belt.
Yeah. And then next up, Masa Kitamiya and Deki Inaba defeated at Takashi Sugera and Timothy Thatcher in 11:39 via referee stop. Kitamiya had Sugera in the prison hold with the front face lock, front neck lock, whatever it is. This was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah. I also like the finish of that one where, because I think it always looks really good when, like, Kitamiya puts that lock on Segura.
Yeah.
Because Segura's neck is so massive that it just, like, it looks incredible.
Yeah. I really like this Kitamiya and Inaba team.
Yeah. Do you think they should win the titles? Because, like, when they originally challenged, I was like, no, they're definitely not going to win. But, like, I don't know.
I'm of two minds of this, because I'm really enjoying the Kojima and Segura tag team.
Mm-hmm.
But they have built themselves, but this is the first tag team in a while that seems to have some juice in Noah. So if you have Kitamiya and Inaba win, that kind of actually means something.
Yeah.
And Kitamiya and Inaba are sort of spinning their wheels. So I think of ways.
Forever as well.
Yeah. So I think that it would be very useful for the tag team division and both those guys to win the tag titles.
Yeah. And I feel like Segura and Kojima have gotten a pretty good run in.
Yeah.
And I also can't think of any like other like logical team where I would be like, no, actually it should be those guys instead.
No, they faced off against all the teams that can draw. Like they beat Nakajima and Kenno. They beat Kenta and Marufuji. You would basically just have to start plugging in random like Congo combinations or something for them to face because there's no one else.
Yeah.
So
Funaki and Soya.
yeah, exactly. Right. So yeah, I would do it. Although I'm not like super confident that they're going to beat them, but I would have them beat them.
Yeah. No, I would do that as well. But yeah, as I said, not 100% certain that they would. But I mean, it's not like you're doing anything else with Inaba. Kitamiya, so you might as well.
They're both, well, Inaba's really good and Kitamiya is probably better in tags.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then next up we had Amasuka and Ninja Mac defeated Tadasuke and Hiroki in 5 minutes and 38 seconds with the Firebird Splash from Amasuka on Tadasuke. Perfectly inoffensive 5-minute fun little junior thing.
Yeah.
And then next up we had Kenno and Hajime Ohara defeated Masato Tanaka and Shoki Kitamura, who's also of 0-1, in 12 minutes and 7 seconds with a PFS from Kenno on Kitamura. Solid match. Enjoy the Kenno versus Tanaka sequences, but that's about it to it.
Yep.
Do you think Kitamura has something? Do you think Kitamura has something? Because I've seen him, like, and I'm like, he's got something, but here I wasn't, like, sold on him.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's so hard to evaluate 0-1 guys as well because you so rarely see them.
I mean, I've seen him before and I thought he looked better in 0-1.
Yeah.
But I haven't.
Which I don't know. That's probably not a good sign.
If you can't hang in a bigger company. Not that he was bad. He just wasn't like, oh, that guy pops off the screen like as someone with potential and everything like that.
Yeah, because like it definitely doesn't look like, for example, like, I don't know, like Ayabe does.
Yeah, for sure.
who's also like, if he comes to a bigger company, like he pops off, like he's very clear that he has talent. Yeah. I didn't really feel that with Kitamura here.
No. And then next up, we had Naomichi Marufuji, Junta Miyawaki, and Alejandro defeated Ehiro de Dr. Wagner Jr., Yoshinari Ogawa, and Eita in 11 minutes and 44 seconds with a cradle cutback from Miyawaki on Eita. They're continuing to build up that junior tag title match. Mm-hmm. I thought this was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I really like what I've seen from Miyawaki since they've come back from Excursion.
Yeah.
I think he's really like really upped this game there.
Is he
obviously, that's the goal.
Is he being positioned as the next junior ace?
Yeah.
I think so.
Like, because he came back from Excursion, he immediately got a title match. He obviously didn't win, but I think the fact that he immediately got that title match and the fact that they're still pushing him like immediately afterwards as well, like, I think that's a really strong sign that they're like, we're going to try with this guy as our next junior ace, which I think is also necessary for the Noah junior division, because the average age in that division is pretty high.
I mean,
like, people joke about like Noah pushing like all the old like heavyweights, and it's true, but like that junior division is really old at this point.
Well, all the Rattel's guys are at least in their mid-30s now.
Yeah.
And then it's just Miyawaki and Yano. Am I forgetting? Alejandro. And Kai Fujimura,
yeah. But like, that's still a young boy. Like, it's like basically like the guys that aren't like young boys. It's really just Miyawaki, Alejandro, basically.
And Yoshioka's like, I think he's like 32.
I think it's 33, 34, yeah.
Oh, even older, a couple years older.
Yeah. So. He is old. He's also like a guy that is like older than you would think he is as well.
Yeah. So yeah, it's time to make Junta the ace.
Yeah.
And then next up, Jake Lee and Jack Morris defeated Kaito Kiyomiya and Yoshiki Inamura.
Oh, he's 35.
Oh shit! I didn't realize he was even that old. So now he's up there with like Harada's like 36 or 37, and like, you know.
Yeah, Kotoga as well.
Yeah. So next up, Jake Lee and Jack Morris defeated Kaito Kiyomiya and Yoshiki Inamura in 12:21 with a Tiger Driver from Morris on Kiyomiya. I thought this was actually good.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Lee being his ass being saved by Jack Morris. Sublime every time is saving Jake Lee.
Yeah. I mean, Jake is also a better tag worker, let's be honest.
Oh, of course. Not
really a singles guy.
Well, it depends against the right opponent. I mean...
You mean Kento.
Okay, fine. Well, Yuma. And Jake had a great match against Shuji Ishikawa.
Yeah, but mostly against Kento.
Mostly against Kento. Fine, yeah. So, that was good. And then Jack got on the mic after the match and challenged him. Challenged Kiyomiya.
Finally, yeah.
Finally. For the GHC.
He's been doing title belt motions.
Yeah.
Since like November.
Even earlier, wasn't he doing them in the end run after he beat, I don't know, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
And then
And
then in the finals of the Scramble Shuffle Tag Team Tournament, Katsuhiko Nakajima and Seki Yoshioka defeated Satoshi Kojima and Shuji Kondo in 17 minutes and 5 seconds with a vertical spike from Nakajima on Kojima. I thought this was great.
Yeah. I thought this was by far the best match of the whole tournament.
This sort of harkened back in a lot of ways to like mid-2000s All Japan. Right? Because 3 out of 4guys are there, and then Yoshioka is a Wrestle 1 dojo graduate.
Oh god, these are all Muta guys.
Yeah. I mean, it was really good.
I didn't even think of that, but yeah, they kind of are.
Yeah, I mean, it was really good. I mean, we've talked about how awesome Yoshioka is on this show before and everything like that.
Yeah.
So
they like I said, they put the two best teams in the tournament, and it resulted in the best match in the tournament. I thought it was really, really nice. And again, Kojima shows that he is completely selfless just taking the pin here.
Yeah. So I would say, like, you know, you're... got time, you know, sort of low on time, I'd watch the top two matches from this show. I think they're worth it.
Yeah.
And then just a couple of announcements. Big Yokohama Budokan show on March 19th, and then another Sumo Hall show on May 4th. And then Ogawa and Eita will face Miyawaki and Alejandro on February 12th. Mm-hmm. And then, so we go the very next day to Noah Sunny Voyage 2023 in Yokohama Radiant Hall in front of 227 fans. Tadasuke defeated Taishi Ozawa in 6 minutes and 12 seconds with the crab holds. It's sort of fun also watching Tadasuke be like the sleazy guy who could just beat up a young guy.
Yeah.
But Ozawa got in a little more than I think he usually does here too.
No. I mean, it is clear that like he's going to be taking his lumps for a while more. But
Yeah.
I think that they're kind of subtly positioning it as well, that he is a heavyweight where like, yes, he is getting beaten up by these juniors for now, but probably like not for like much longer.
Jack Morris defeated Shuhei Taniguchi in 7 minutes and 24 seconds with the Tiger Driver. I guess you really can't defend this match going longer, even though I think they have a better match in them, but I thought it was good for what it was.
Yeah. But obviously, Morris has to win.
Yeah, and I find going 7 minutes less of an issue for me when it's against Taniguchi versus Mochizuki.
Yes, yeah. If I had to pick one where I'm like, okay, one of these matches has to go long and one of these matches has to go 7 minutes, I'm definitely picking the Taniguchi match.
Yeah. And the next up, Katsuhiko Nakajima and Manabu Soya defeated Ehiro de Dr. Wagner Jr. and Timothy Thatcher in 12 minutes and 53 seconds when Soya used the Dando on Wagner. I enjoyed this, actually. I think Wagner and Soya have really good chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is going to be... like, I don't think they've announced yet, like, the next challenger, right, for the national title.
Oh, he picked up the belt.
Oh, yeah. After the match. So it's definitely going to be Soya, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to that because I think that's a good defense for Wagner, and I think they work well together.
Yeah.
So that will be good to watch out for. And then Masa Kitamiya, Daiki Inabi, and Yoshiki Inamura defeated Naomichi Marufuji, Muhammad Yone, and Akitoshi Saito in 14:44 when Inabe used the Goku Sori Manajigatame, if I say even said that right, on Yone. This maybe went a little long with some of the Funky Express guys, but it was just really about like showing off Inaba and Kitamiya.
Yeah. So, yeah, I also agree. It went a little bit too long, but it was really just building up Kitamiya and Inaba a bit more for the title match. So I'm fine with it.
Junta Miyawaki defeated Yasutaku Yano in 13 minutes and 33 seconds with a one-armed Falcon Arrow. I like this. This was good. This established Miyawaki as like, obviously it's still an up-and-comer, but I think, you know, you don't see Yano in a lot of singles matches that go even over 10 minutes. So I think this was also good for him, and it was a lot of fun. And I think, you know, in maybe another year or two, this could be a title program.
Yeah, definitely. I'm wondering like when they're going to send, or if they're going to send off Yano to like an excursion or something like that soon.
I would assume he'll go to Mexico too, right?
Yeah. I think that's safe to say that. I think they have that relationship there with the Ultimo House, so they can just stay there.
Casa de Ultimo.
Yeah, Casa de Ultimo.
And then Takashi Sugiura and Nosawa Rangai defeated Keno and Hajime Ohara in 11 minutes and 34 seconds when Sugiura used an Olympic slam on Ohara.
It happened.
Not much to it. Then in the main event, Kaito Kiyomiya defeated Amasuka in 18:28 with the modified Tiger Driver, which really should just be his finisher now. I like this a lot. I don't think it hit like, I went like 4 stars. I don't think it hit match of the year level, but for a show in front of 227 fans, these guys worked pretty damn hard.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that exactly it did that at this like Radiant Hall show in Yokohama. That they did like heavyweight champion versus junior champion, just kind of with like nothing and no build, but it was still like a really, really fun match. Yeah, I don't think it got quite to like the 4 stars level for me, but it was still a ton of fun. And I also fully agree that the Tiger Driver should be Kaito's finish now. Like he can have multiple finishes as well.
Just put the goddamn Shining Wizard stuff is so anticlimactic.
I mean, he can use that as like a setup for the Tiger Driver.
Yeah. And so, but the thing is with Kaito, I think he's still in that period of his career where he like Okada several years ago as the champ. He just works really hard day in and day out on every show.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many who the opponent is or where they are. Now, obviously, Okada has dialed that back, and I'm sure once Kaito turns 30, he'll do that too. But it's a lot of fun to watch now.
Yeah, and we'll have a few years of that left as well, because it'll be a while until Kaito turns 30.
Yeah, so. I think he's turning 28, 27 this year, or 28.
Let me double check. How old is Kaito right now? Kaito Kiyomiya is 26 now, so he's turning 27.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So you're going to have like another 3 years of this, hopefully.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I mean, 30 just continues, like, just bump his ass off.
30 is just an arbitrary number, but obviously Okada has dialed it back in the six mans and on the smaller shows over the past few years.
Yeah. But I think it's also because, like, A, yeah, to, like, save his body, but also because he's, like, established as the big, big star now, so. If Kaito, well, I don't think Kaito, like, to be honest, I don't think Kaito will get to, like, Okada level.
No.
But when he's, like, a more established star, I think he's also going to be like, okay, it's time to dial things back a little bit more now and preserve my body.
Yeah. I mean, when do you think Okada started dialing back in, what, 2017, 2018, would you say?
Yeah, around there. Because he was taking some insane bumps before that on, like, house shows.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was that show. And then we go to Sunny Voyage 2023 on the 15th. I didn't watch the whole show. I only watched up to Timothy Thatcher versus Seki Yoshioka, which I actually enjoyed quite a bit. I don't know if we need to go match by match here. But what I enjoyed was that match and the opener of Katoge versus Yano, even though it was pretty short. And Wagner versus and Yohei versus Soya and Tadasuke wasn't bad, but Paul, did you have any thoughts about the rest of the show?
I think the Miyawaki Alejandro match where they won by disqualification against Ogawa and Rongai, I think you can kind of skip that one. It's well, the interaction between Miyawaki and Ogawa really fun, but I think Nosawa drags it down a bit. And the DQ was also weird because it was basically just Nosawa pulls out a box from beneath the ring, shoves over the ref and just hits Miyawaki in the head with the box and gets disqualified. So, I don't know. That was weird. I did actually really like Segura versus Inaba. I thought that match was a ton of fun. I thought Segura actually gave Inaba quite a bit in the match as well before he then kind of managed to like pull out a victory as well.
Yeah.
Same with the next one, actually. Jake Lee and Jack Morris versus Kaito Kiyomiya and Taniguchi. I thought that one was really, really good as well. Actually, yeah, in that one, I actually liked Jake a bit more as well. I thought him and Taniguchi actually meshed really well.
They would be a good fit.
Yeah, and I thought the giant killing knee from, that Jake used to finish Taniguchi off, I thought looked really good as well. The main event, it was okay. Don't think it was anything special. Also didn't really like the finish. So, and I think on that one, it's also more important what happened after the match.
Yes. So there was two very important angles on this show. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Okay, let's just get Jake out of the way and then we can talk about the stuff that was good.
Paul, the good-looking guys have formed, which is Jake Lee, Jack Morris, and Anthony Green.
Sure.
Your hair must be this long to join.
I mean, mine is. It's really long, actually, at this point.
And I guess you sort of need...
going way past my shoulder.
You need some facial hair as well, I suppose.
I actually have the exact same... Fun fact, both me and Jake Lee cannot grow a beard because we can actually grow the exact same amount of facial hair. Yeah, so wait, I actually fitted really well there.
Okay, well, there you go. You can be the fourth good-looking guy. The name is a little ridiculous.
Yes. I mean, it's better than just four guys, but just not much guys. Better.
No, just slightly better.
They should have a match against each other for like the term guys.
Yes, they should. I don't know. Where do you see this thing? Green's there, obviously, is the lost post.
Yeah. Where I see this going? I see this going the way every Drake Lee faction ever has gone, where it starts off pretty good and then it flames out and just kind of peters out completely.
Well, yeah, right. And because Jake said, well, I mean, Jake might just leave Noah.
I mean, okay. I mean, the one thing I will say, like, they have a t-shirt and everything. They have a name. They have a fact, like, he has a faction. I mean, that has to mean he signed a contract, right?
We'll see.
Like, they're not giving him a faction and not, like, before he signs the contract.
Well, this is might be more so for Jack Morris than Jake Lee.
I mean, maybe. But it does kind of seem to be built around Jake.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know.
We'll see. I guess, I don't know. But with it just being a Jake Lee faction, I am...
Yeah, I think both of us are like have like a very heavy amount of PTSD when it comes to that.
Not holding my breath on that one. So we'll see what happens. But I mean, I like Morris, and I think Green is a nice little mid-card guy that can take falls. So
yeah. I mean, so like every other Jake Lee faction, you look at the like individual components and like, I should like this one. And then, like I said, I will always remember Jin being formed and me being like, oh, holy shit, this is amazing.
Well, to be fair, there was a pandemic and
Nomura
got injured.
True.
With a major injury. Yeah, but it's just the bad luck.
But there is a pattern of Jake Lee factions forming and them kind of not going anywhere.
Yeah. And then the other big angle on the show, which I just thought was an incredible angle.
That is the best angle in Japan in years.
Oh, God, yes. So LIJ show up in the hallway or whatever, in like where the merch table is, and they demand, they like Naito buys a Kago shirt and then gets everyone to sign it. It's so good. And just Kenno looked
like he was about to kill him.
Yeah, just this incredible scowl. The angriest man in wrestling against the most laid back.
Yes. No, it is like it is a really great matchup that they've booked there.
Oh yeah. So it is. I just really enjoyed the angle, and they were just all watching there. It's funny because Nakajima didn't look that pissed, even though
he could've. Nakajima did his whole like shit eating grin. I think actually like the other like the third best guy aside from like Kenno and Naito and the whole angle was Shingo as well.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, because Shingo was like taunting them.
Yeah, he was just a complete shithead as well.
Yep, just incredible. Incredible angle. I think it's one of the best angles anywhere.
Yes.
Yes. Not just Japan in quite some time.
Yeah. And also Sanada's fashion sense.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, Hiromu was funny, too, because he was posting all sorts of shit on social media about it, too.
Yeah.
So just a great, great angle. And so even though this is technically beyond our wheelhouse, we're still going to preview Wrestle Kingdom 17 in Yokohama Arena real quickly.
But to be fair, I think we can review that. I think we're going to review that one as well. It is a New Japan show, but again.
And for more coverage, you obviously can listen to the Super J Cast on this very network. They owe us some good karma because, you know, they didn't have to deal with Jake Lee.
like I was saying before it was announced to what was going to be the card for this one, I was like, Jake Lee should be on every Noah show except for this one. And which Noah show is Jake Lee not booked for?
Oh, wow. Look at that. Although this was probably painstakingly organized even before Jake showed up in Noah.
I mean, yes, probably. But if they do this again next year.
Yeah.
And he's still not booked.
Yeah. So next up. So this is listed as a dark match. Kosei Fujita and Ryohei Oiwa versus Yasutaku Yano and Taishi Ozawa. I assume the New Japan team wins here because Ozawa is like the freshest guy.
Yeah, probably.
Tomohiro Ishii and Oscar Lube. Is that how I pronounce it?
Loiba.
Loiba. Okay. Mm-hmm. Versus Masa Kitamiya and Daiki Inaba. I mean, I think this is an easy win for Kitamiya and Inaba. And nice to see that Noah is sort of investing in them. I mean, they're going to pin in a young lion, but getting a win on this show means something, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if you're in Noah. In a match that doesn't really count against either promotion's win-loss record, it's Hiroshi Tanahashi, Toru Yano, Satoshi Kojima, and Takashi Sugiura versus Naomichi Marufuji, Kenta, El Fantasmo, and Gedo, who I assume is eating the pin.
Yeah, I would assume so as well. It's interesting that that's just one... Technically, just one Noah guy on each side of the match. But obviously, Kojima kind of counts as a half Noah guy at this point. And Kenta is a Noah guy in spirit forever. So,
El Desperado versus Yohei. I think this actually could be pretty good.
Yes, this is actually the one I'm really looking forward to. That one should be interesting.
I think Desperado wins.
I also think Despy is winning, yeah.
Yeah. And then in a match that nobody asked for, Tiger Mask, Ryusuke Taguchi, and Master Wado versus Amasuka, Junta Miyawaki, and Alejandro. I mean, the Noah side is pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think Wato has improved. But
Wato has definitely blown me away with his performance as Wrestle Kingdom. So
yeah, it was pretty good.
Just the other two in the match are like, I just don't want to see
it. I didn't like that match that much, but Wato was really good in it. But Tiger Mask and Taguchi on this show, what's the... Oh, God.
No. I mean, I would assume maybe that... I would assume that the Noah side is winning this match because Amasuka is the junior champion.
Alejandro can still eat shit, though, I think.
I mean, he can, but so can Taguchi or Tiger Mask or even Wato.
Tiger Mask technically, I think, lower ranked than Taguchi, too.
Yeah.
And then next up, Kazuchika Okada and Togi Makabe versus Kaito Kiyomi and Yoshiki Inamura. I think it'll be good, and I assume Kiyomiya beats Makabe as sort of payback from taking the fall last year.
No, I think Inamura is there to eat a rainmaker.
So Kaito is humiliated again. Kaito loses again on this show?
Yeah. Because Okada's a bigger star.
Stupid, stupid booking.
It's a New Japan show. It's a New Japan show. They're not going to have their heavy, like, their world champ.
It's a tag match.
Lose.
I know. So in the first of the LIJ versus Kongo 5 match series, Bushi versus Tadasuke. Well, if Kongo's going to win one, it might be this one.
I actually think Kongo is winning more than this one. I think they might be going splitsies until the final. I think Tadasuke is going to win this one.
Okay, because I think LIJ is winning 3-2, but they're going to lose the big one.
No, but I think Tadasuke is winning this one.
Okay. Next up, Hiromu Takahashi versus Hajime Ohara. I mean, this should be pretty obvious.
Hiromu wins. That's a no contest.
Yeah. Sonata versus Manabu Soya.
Yeah. So this is actually going to be my lock, actually. My lock prediction. Yeah. Manabu Soya is beating Sonata.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, that is quite the lock.
Yeah, because Soya is also getting a title match.
Oh, that's right. What is the national title? But whatever.
Yeah, but like I said, I think they're going splits until the final, and to do that, they can't have the two they can't have the two LIJ members lose that whole titles. So it has to be Sonata. So Sonata's losing to Soya.
Okay, I mean, I kind of looking forward to this match given their history, right? Can they still recapture some old magic?
Yeah, that's also the other interesting part as well. Yeah, there's a lot of history actually behind this match.
Next up, Shingo Takagi versus Katsuhiko Nakajima. I mean, this could definitely be the best match of the show, but Shingo's got a title challenge coming up, and Shingo's winning.
Yeah, no, Shingo's absolutely beating Nakajima. I don't think there's really kind of any chance Nakajima wins here. But it very well could be the best match on the show. But I think the next one might beat it because I think there's more intrigue there.
Yeah, well, it'll have the most heat, the main event.
Yeah. Oh, God, that show is going to be, the heat on that match is going to be insane.
And then in the main event, Tetsuya Naito versus Kenno. Like I said, the most laid-back man in wrestling versus the angriest man in wrestling.
So do you think the criminal is going to win, or is Kenno going to win?
I think Kenno's winning, and it's going to be my lock of the week is Kenno winning.
Ooh, okay, yeah. Well, I mean, because, Naito very easily can take the loss here.
Naito can take the loss, and if you don't build up this intrigue, you're going to get diminishing returns if you want to make this Yokohama Wrestle Kingdom show New Japan versus Noah every year.
Yeah. And it's also like the other thing, like if, for example, because I've seen people go like, well, LIJ is going to sweep Kongo. But if I'm Noah, then I'm just never doing one of these shows ever again.
Nah, well, there's no point.
I'm not even agreeing to do the show in the first place.
No. Because I didn't think Noah looked the greatest last year. And that would even make them look worse.
Yeah. So because I also like the other thing as well, and that's why I think that Kongo is actually winning the whole like series essentially is, because I think Naito said as well that like if they lose, then he is actually going to come to Noah as well, and I think that might be where he's getting his win back over Kano.
Yeah, and Noah needs some draws.
Yeah,
to match that could draw after Muto retires.
maybe he's the finals opponent.
I don't know. I keep reading, teasing that it's someone that he's never faced before.
Yeah, which would be Okada.
Yeah, and Muto has faced Naito before.
Yeah, no, but this should be amazing. Just the like heat that has been built up around that, just the promos these two have cut on each other as well. Like the fact that Kano just like after that whole angle just goes and it's just like, Naito, you're a criminal. You snuck into the show and you should pay. Or I'm gonna call the cops.
Yeah, that's so funny. Like I said, it's one of the best angles in a long time.
Yeah, he also like, did you see the one where Kano actually went to the restaurant that Naito's parents own?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah, he went to the restaurant in like full red suit and everything.
Did he order a meal or did he dine and dash?
No, he actually ordered a meal, but he basically just shit-talked the restaurant the entire time.
Incredible.
And then, so yeah, no, like that, like that's what I mean. Like that, that's why Kano needs to win as well, because they built this up so much that it feels almost like a waste for Naito to win, because if Naito wins, it's over.
Yeah.
Whereas if Kano wins, you can continue this and make some money.
Absolutely. And then so that is Wrestle Kingdom at Yokohama Arena. But the very next day in Yokohama Arena is the Noah Great Muta Final Bye Bye. So Wrestle Kingdom 17 in Yokohama Arena is a pay-per-view, but this will be on Great Muta Final Bye Bye will be on Wrestle Universe with English commentary. So in the first match,
but it will drop like a week. No, sorry, no, the New Japan show will drop later,
Yes, it will drop like a week with like Stuart Fulton and Mark Pickering on commentary. Yeah. Whereas I think it's going to be like Charlton and Kelly if you buy the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Because that's how it was last year.
Yeah, and that's what they're doing this year as well.
Yeah. So in the first match of the Great Muta Final Bye-Bye called Welcome to Bye-Bye, it's Atsushi Kotoge versus Seki Yoshioka. Sorry, and Seki Yoshioka versus Hajime Ohara and Hiroki. Perfectly acceptable opener, I guess. I mean, you know. Ohara and Hiroki are not my most favorite wrestlers, but I like Kotoge and Yoshioka.
Yeah, exactly. So they should make that fun, and it's the opener, so it should be quick, too.
Second match, because I'm sure that Muto demanded that there be women on the show. In the Who is Valkyrie? Sayori Anu and Jungle Kiona, which I believe this is her first match in Japan since leaving Stardom, because she's been in the U.S.
I think so as well, because I can't think that she popped up anywhere else so far.
No, because on the last Hana Memorial show, she was still rehabbing from injury.
Yeah, and she didn't go to the... Yeah, no, she's really just BLP, GCW, AW Dark. Wait, no, there's one Freelance show. No, she did work the Hanakimura one last year.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought she just did a run-in. Okay.
No. She did an exhibition match.
That's what it was.
Yeah, she did an exhibition match with Kyoko.
Okay, so technically her first full match back.
Yeah.
Jungle Kiona and versus Natsu Sumari and Mayu Kihi. I know that some people don't like Sumari, but yes, she's very much a vibes wrestler. But I think this will be a good match nonetheless.
Yeah, this should be fun.
And then next up, Best of Iron Man. Timothy
a
Thatcher
match versus... booked exclusively for me.
Yeah, Timothy Thatcher versus Masaki Mochizuki. I mean, if they get enough time, this could be pretty damn good.
I mean, it's called Best of Iron Man, right? So it's going 60.
I wish.
No, but yeah, if they get time, I think this should be awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And then next up, this is Anarchy Time. Yoshinari Ogawa, Eita, and Nosawa Rangai versus Junta Miyawaki, Alejandro, and Yasutaku Yano. Again, just depends what they do with what Rangai and his friends do. Otherwise, it could be good.
Will Yano get another pin on Nosawa?
It's very possible. I wouldn't rule
it. I think that should be the finish. And I mean, with the name, that should be like Plunder in this as well, right? Like, because... call it. This is anarchy time.
Yeah. And then wrestling Battle Cry and making their debut as a three-man unit. It's the good-looking guys, Jake Lee, Jack Morrison, Anthony Green versus Masa Kitamiya, Deki Inaba, and Yoshiki Inamura. And honestly, Paul, that could be a pretty good match.
Oh, yeah. I think this has potential. But the other thing is, so who loses here?
Inamura?
But Kitamiya and Inaba are like challenging for the tag titles. Green. So I don't know if Green. You want them
Green.
To lose.
Green can lose.
So you have the new faction lose in their debut?
I don't know.
Why did they book this? Like, Inamura wrestling is lose. Not hard. Like, you should never book yourself into a corner because, you know, you can, you literally determine the results. Like, but now you've kind of booked yourself into a corner.
Yeah. And then, I don't know. I think Inamura is losing. I still do.
Yeah.
Jack will pin him.
Yeah.
Next up, GHC Martial Arts Rules, Kazushi Sakuraba versus Hideki Suzuki. I mean, this obviously was built off of what happened at the Budokan and everything like that.
So what are the GHC Martial Arts Rules specifically?
Probably just modified UWF rules.
Yes, probably, but I don't know. It's weird that they call them that.
I don't know. It depends. Are they going to go real, like, shooty mat stuff, or are they going to do, like, something a little flashier?
I think with Hideki in there, I think this is gonna be a lot of like rolling around on the ground.
Yeah, I will reserve judgment. It could be good. It could not be.
Could be good. Yeah, but Sakuraba has had good performances when he's done.
Oh yeah, for sure.
So, and Suzuki is really good. So there is potential for this to be good, but this could also be just like them doing 5-minute exhibition and then Suzuki wins.
Yep. Yeah. And then next up, To Rise Sky High, Ultimo Dragon, Amasuka, and Ninja Mac versus Yohei, KZ, and Dante Leon. I'm sort of curious because you could sort of work around the weaker wrestlers in this match. Because
mm-hmm.
Ultimo is going to like start the match, do a couple of mat things, and then like not do anything else.
Yeah. And he's going to tease the moonsault and not do it.
Yeah. And then you have like Yohei and KZ carry the load.
Yeah. I think this could, like, if there's four people in this match that I like and two people that I'm like iffy on. So I think this has potential to be good, but could also just be a bit of a nothing match as well. Especially like third from the top as well.
4 out of 6 ain't bad.
Yeah.
And then next up, called Champions Night. So it's Kaito Kiyomiya, Takashi Sugera, Satoshi Kojima, and Ahiro the Dr. Wagner Jr. versus Kenno, Katsuhiko Nakajima, Masakatsu Funaki, and Manabu Soya. I mean, I assume the champions win because I'm sure like one of the champions will be also dropping their title in like a match the next month or later in February to these people or something. Right? You could have like... you could have Soya lose, but then win the tag titles later or something, right?
Yeah, you can do that. I think what you kind of want to get out of this, though, like, you should have the champions win and Kaito should get the pin so that you have, like, the whole thing of, like, Kaito being there in the semi-main holding up the title.
Yeah, for sure. And then in the end of Nightmare, Great Muta, Sting, and Darby Allin versus Naomichi Marufuji, Hakushi, and Akira. Now, Paul, we didn't know the identities of the opponents
mm-hmm.
last time we recorded. What do you think?
So Hakushi makes absolute perfect sense. Like, I don't think you can really do a good, like, a last match for the Great Muta and not have Hakushi be there.
Yep.
Marufuji seems to be there so that Noah has a guy in the match.
Yep.
Because that's really the best explanation I can come up with. Yeah. And I think Akira also makes sense to be there in like the final Muta match.
Okay, yes. But here's my thing. Marufuji, I know people are down on him. I still like him when he turns it on. Hakushi is still in incredible shape, Jinsei Shinzaki, in his 50s. I haven't seen Akira in several years. I don't know what kind of shape he's in. He's in into his 50s now. But here's my issue with this team. Who can take all of Darby Allin's stuff?
Marufuji?
Like, if you're bringing Darby Allin to Japan, you want to be able to give them the Darby Allin experience.
Yeah, he needs to jump off of something.
So who's he's probably going to do that, but who's going to take the like his insane plancha or like tope, you know? Marufuji?
I mean, guys at ringside?
Yeah.
Question mark.
I know, I just feel like you could have maximized Darby Allin. Darby's going to take some sick bumps in this, I'm sure. But yeah. At the same time, I think you could maximize Darby Allin by having guys that could take his offense, like his at full like impact and speed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you think Sting is going to jump up off something?
I could see Sting jumping off the turnbuckle through a table onto Marufuji or something.
Yeah. That's, no, I think this could be a lot of fun, but yeah, I also agree that I'm not sure, like,
honestly,
who's
Sting
taking
jumping,
Darby Allin's offense.
Sting jumping off the turnbuckle through a table or jumping off of the apron onto someone on the table at ringside is a lot smaller of a bump than some of the other bumps he's been taking lately.
Yeah, because he's done some absolutely insane shit for a guy that is like 62 or something like that.
Yeah, 63.
Yeah.
Also... I mean, this might be Sting's last match in Japan.
I think that's safe to say. Tour. Yeah. Like, unless, I don't know, like, all AEW does, like, a joint, like, because there's still, like, the rumors of, like, a joint AEW, like, New Japan show in Japan.
Yeah.
So if something like that happens, then that's Sting's final match. But otherwise, yeah, this is definitely going to be his last match in Japan.
Yeah, so it's sort of historic in that. Although, I mean, Sting hasn't been there in a long time, but he was, like, you know, a semi-regular on, like, dome shows all through the 90s.
Yeah.
And he had some big high-profile matches in Japan at domes. He faced Inoki. He faced Muda at the dome, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
How long has it been since he's been to Japan? Like, a long time. Like, since 96, right? Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
I'm looking at it, and I don't see anything unless he worked, like, the TNA joint show with WrestleOne.
I don't think he did, but...
Yeah, no, the last match in Japan is Lex Luger and Sting defeat Arn Anderson and Lord Steven Regal.
Honestly, could have been a good match.
Sounds pretty good, yeah.
So that is the Great Muda final bye. And Paul, the only other note to make is we got our first match for the Tokyo Dome on February 21st, in a match that you're going to have to watch and then take a shower after you watch it. Nosawa Rongai and Mizada versus Ghetto and Taiji Ishimori.
So, okay, here's the thing. And this was announced, but like, I don't know, like, am I Mandela affecting this? I feel like this match was announced weeks ago.
Was it?
I saw that and I was like, we already knew this was the match.
The tweet from the NOAH Global account from yesterday is official. One match is confirmed for Muto's retirement show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. Like, and everyone else is also treating it like this the first time they've heard
of
it. But so I don't know.
You might be Mandalorian affecting it because I thought it was the first one. But, you know, I think that match will be short and mercifully short.
Yeah.
Assuming that Nosawa just doesn't grab the mic after the show and say, haha, I'm lying. Which also, I don't think is impossible.
No, I don't know. I'll believe he's not wrestling again. I don't know if he like actually stays away for like a year after this match.
Paul, I haven't looked at the full NOAH schedule for February. But what are the chances? Do you think they're doing Morris versus Kiyomiya in the Dome? Like, where are all these title matches happening other than the junior tag titles?
Yeah, no, I could see that happening. I mean, we have the Great Voyage in Yokohama one, in Yokohama Budokan.
That's in March.
March, yeah. Oh, yeah, right, that is really far away. Yeah. So they would have to do something before then. So, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Like, you put, I mean, it's not a big match, but obviously you don't need to put a match on there that needs to draw. Because the fact that it's Muto's last show is the draw. So, yeah, you don't need to burn off, like, a big match for the show to sell it out. So just putting someone like Jack Morris there and then you just have like Kaito win at the Dome and give him like a big victory in the Dome.
Okay, so I'm just looking at here. Oh. I totally missed this. February 12th, they're at Osaka Edeon number one.
Yeah, you could probably do it there, yeah.
Yeah, I think. Because that's like a... That, if you do all that and the tag title match and the junior title match there, that's a respectable card for that venue.
Mm-hmm.
For the main Edeon Arena. I'm not sure how much it's going to draw. But it's respectable.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, yeah, like, we're still not sure what even the structure of the Muto show is going to be. So, could also be that, like, basically you have Muto versus Okada as the main event. And then you have, like, underneath, you have, like, I don't know, Kaito and Kento Miyahara versus, like, Higuchi and, I don't know, Shun Skywalker or something like that.
Yeah. So, that's... And I think we'll probably get some announcements about the Muto final show on this show.
Yeah. No, I would expect that as well. But then again, they dragged their feet for quite a while on the Muto show. So hopefully...
Well, it's because of the politics of setting it up, I'm sure.
I mean, that's going to be even more of a nightmare, though, for the Muto show.
Well, no, because if it's Okada, Okada's winning.
Yeah. No, but so I mean, just for the rest of the card. Because, like, just from what we've heard, it's just that everyone wants to be on the show. And if everyone wants to be on the show... The interpromotional politics are going to be like completely insane for that show.
Yeah, for sure. So that's that. Paul, do you have any final thoughts? I still have a pretty good feeling about where everything is going this year, I think. I don't know. And then we got cheering back too, which helps.
I'm a little worried about what Noah's numbers are going to be once Muto retires, but obviously.
Well, yeah, because they could, I think they're starting off the year well, but they could do something really stupid by April.
Yeah, if they kind of overreact to maybe like numbers dropping once Muto is gone.
Yeah, because like I mean, Muto's not on any of these shows, but they need him to draw in the big buildings.
Yeah, so we'll see about that. But again, like they're still a while away, so we'll deal with that when it happens. But otherwise, yeah, I'm actually kind of excited about what both promotions have coming up right now.
I'm cautiously optimistic, but the cheering will help, and frankly, the cheering will also help a lot of shitty things go down easier, at least, right?
Yes, I think that too.
Because there's heat for that Voodoo Murders breakup angle, well, okay, fine. That's better than that just being happening in a silent building.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So hopefully there will be like a really big, nice pop when Subama turns on the Saitos again.
Yeah, and then he could finally have his tag team with Yuma Anzai, because I think that's really where it should go.
Yes, he can deprogram from all of the like sweet things that Nagata whispered into Anzai's ears.
Exactly. All right, so we'll be back in a couple of weeks, I guess, depending on we'll see what everything happens. Mm-hmm. Or maybe sooner, because I don't know, Paul. When do you want to come back?
There are some big shows coming up as well, so I think
we could do a whole episode out of the All Japan Korakuen and the two shows. In
the Oklahoma. Two big Noah shows, Yeah.
So... maybe I guess it'll depend by the time when I can watch Wrestle Kingdom 17.
Because
I don't think I'm gonna be watching it live. So we might be back. We'll probably be back in less than 2 weeks or so, and so you can look out for that. And then we'll start off in February, because February is gonna be another big month.
Yes, February is like when things start popping off, and I think like we're gonna get like announcements for the Champion Carnival and everything. Like I think that's when the year really starts.
All right, so we'll see you really soon. For Paul Vosch, I'm Gerard DiTrollio, and take care.
Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the Pro Wrestling Quiz Show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.